with 1,000 things on our to-do lists, a lot of us are doing life on constant autopilot, forgetting to care for ourselves, feeling overwhelmed and frustrated with the way things are. I strive to help you, the everyday woman, to stop and to embrace the power of effective self-care in order to reduce overwhelm and anxiety and find fulfillment in your everyday life. I'm Sarah Miller, and I'm here to help you stop going through the motions and start being the happiest and healthiest version of you, all by caring for yourself like someone worth caring for. Join me for conversations about self-care, wellness, mindfulness, and so much more that will help you find your own self-care lifestyle. I'm Sarah, and you're listening to the Self-Care Lifestyle Podcast. Welcome back to another episode. I am back here with Max. Long time no talk with him. I mean, I've been talking to him, obviously, since we live together and have a child. And we're married, so we like each other, but it's been a while. So, do you want to just give a quick little update on what you've been up to and all that?
Yeah, I mean, I've just been working on family stuff and on some other side projects, and I'm glad to be back.
Yeah. So it's also just been kind of a shift as I've brought on guests and letting me kind of take the lead on the podcast again. And I think it's working better for us, but he'll still be making appearances on occasion for episodes like these. So it is almost Valentine's Day as you're hearing this, and we're going to be talking a lot about supporting your partner through self-care, well, supporting your partner's self-care and asking them to support yours. I'll also have an episode later this week, a little bonus episode that's a little more geared towards singles or somebody whose partner is not around right now for whatever reason. If they're, what's the word? If they are
somewhere else.
I was thinking military, like
if they're deployed.
Deployed, thank you. or whatever, if they're traveling for work, etc. Sure. So to give you a little like preface, is that the word? Just a little about us, if you don't know this from past episodes. We have been married almost 5 years this May, and then together for more than 8 years now. So, and in that time, you know, I've struggled significantly with anxiety. I've struggled with postpartum depression, and Max has gone through his own things with sleep disorder diagnosis and more than one surgery. And other things. If I don't know if there's anything you want to speak to a little more on that at all.
I'll toss in my own version of paternal postpartum stuff, because we obviously, Reese was born during the pandemic, so we didn't have a lot of like support from people other than ourselves. And I wasn't working at the time, so there's a whole bundle of fun emotions and happenings that was that summer of 2020 that we can toss in. So we both have had our fair share of times where we need the support of the other one and have had the opportunity to kind of serve the other one and help support when they're going through something rough. So we certainly don't want to present ourselves as the end-all, be-all experts. We obviously don't know everything, and I think we both hope that we never actually learn everything, because that would make our relationship and life in general fairly boring. But, yeah, we have some experience, and hopefully our experiences and our unique insights can help you out where you're at if you need some extra help, or give you some new ideas to try and spice up your self-care life.
I also think it's important to acknowledge that even when your partner's not going through a hard time, that it is important to support their self-care. But it's also important for you to communicate how they can support yours. Because I think that self-care is very much a... While it can very much be something that helps, I think it's also very effective as a preventative measure when you're... to avoid feeling overwhelmed because you're supporting yourself properly. So with all of that said, let's just dive on into kind of the core topic for today, supporting your partner's self-care and asking them to support yours. This would be a fantastic episode to share with your partner, to help them understand how they can better support you and vice versa. But yeah, and that kind of flows right into our first point is communicating your needs. I think it is easy to forget that your partner is not a mind reader. Sometimes we, as people, just struggle to communicate our needs. And I think it's just important to acknowledge that you don't have to be afraid to communicate those needs. And you don't... I mean, your partner loves you. And they want you to feel good. They want you to be successful. They want you to have what you need. So you have to start by talking to them about self-care, about your need for it. And everybody needs self-care, I 100% believe. I can't think of any case where somebody would not need self-care. You always need to be taking care of yourself in some way, because nobody else is going to.
Sure. I think I'll bring in the example that I feel like I bring up every once in a while for a variety of things, that there was a survey done at one point in time that was a national level survey, that they took of people who drive and asked them, you know, of the drivers on the road, you know, where on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being the worst and 10 being the best, where do you think you rank, you know, amongst the other drivers? And, you know, something like 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 5 drivers said they were in, you know, the top 40%. So better than half of the drivers on the road. But if more than half of the drivers say they're better than more than half of the drivers on the road, then that's obviously not true. Some of them are actually in the bottom 50%. Of drivers, but I don't remember where I was going with this. I had a really great point that I was going to drive home about
communicating
your needs with your partner, where you might feel like you need some extra help, but your partner is over there thinking that they have just done a fantastic stand-up job that day or that week supporting you in your self-care, and they might not have any idea that, you know, something else happened at work towards the end of the day, or, you know, something happened while you were taking the dog on a walk, or the kid was just a little extra fussy trying to go down to bed, or you like slipped in the shower and that kind of threw off your mental state for the morning, and
got in a fight with a friend.
Or got in a fight with a friend, or had a fly go in your mouth while you were trying to make dinner. And it could be anything that just threw you off that they, like, weren't around for. Like you said, Sarah, they can't read your mind. And I think most of us would probably, maybe this is how I was tying in the driving example, I think most of us would probably say that, yeah, we're pretty good at helping our, you know, knowing where our partner's at and trying to help them or take care of them or help support their self-care. But I think it's important to, like you said, Sarah, remember that they can't read your mind and you can't read their minds. So if you need something, you probably should ask for it. And even if they know or if they guessed, it's always good to have that confirmation. Because you know what they say about assuming things. Right, Sarah? You know what assuming things does.
Yeah. Yeah, I just learned that yesterday. Mm-hmm. That
we had a spelling lesson in the car yesterday about how you spell assume and what that makes of you and me. Maybe we're teaching this to you for the first time. If you're over the age of 18, hopefully you understand how to spell and know how to spell assume. But it was very eye-opening for Sarah to understand where one of these things
It never made
came
sense
from.
To me. And because it doesn't make an ass out of me when somebody assumes something about me. It makes an ass out of you. Anyway.
Uh-huh.
Fun things I didn't know.
Sure.
I was today years old when I learned yeah. this. Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Well, that was I swear I'm smart.
Uh-huh. Well, that was a fun aside. I definitely don't remember where my train was at.
Assumptions make an ass out of you and me when it comes to self-care? Something along those lines?
Sure.
When it comes to anything.
That sounds good.
That
sounds like a complete thought, at least, so I don't know if that was actually that where was I was going.
Okay.
But that is a good thought. And I think that takes us into what we're trying to make our next point is, it's important to open the conversation to what your partner's needs are.
Yeah.
And make sure to not only tell them what you need, but to also ask them for what would be helpful for them.
Yeah, I think it's not a conversation that always comes up, and can be challenging to have. I think a lot of people also struggle to think about what their needs are, especially if they're feeling overwhelmed. So I just think it's helpful to acknowledge that having those conversations can be really a good way to support your relationship, but also support your partner in their self-care. For instance, when I'm having like a really high anxiety, like overwhelmed day, and I just am not thinking clearly at all, and you might ask me, well, do you want to go do X, or do you want to do this or this? And you, at this point, you've got a pretty good idea of what my self-care really looks like and what really helps me when I'm feeling off. But if you don't, you can offer up suggestions. You can talk to them about what they need to feel supported, what they need to feel better, what they're feeling. But even when they're not having a bad time, talking to them about when they're in a good state of mind, going through and going, okay, well, what self-care do you feel like usually works for you, and how can I support you in that? And I think it's important that you keep in mind that self-care can vary from person to person drastically. I know we've talked about that a lot. I will run this point into the ground, but self-care is about what works for you specifically. It doesn't have to be what works for anybody else. It is about what makes you feel good. And I mean, I'll say it again, meditation and Zen are not for everybody all the time. And jamming out to music is not for everybody all the time. Your needs ebb and flow, and they're going to be different from person to person. So your partner's self-care, I mean, that applies to your partner too. Your partner is just as much a person as you are.
For the most part.
I just think it's so easy to lose sight of that because that person becomes such a part of your day-to-day that they're like your other half, and you forget that they have a mind of their own.
Yeah, especially if you're on a fairly set schedule, mm-hmm. where, you know, you're both on your daily grind, and you get up at about the same time, and you do about the same things, and then, you know, maybe you, like us, have a kid or kids that go to school, so they need to be at school at a certain time, and then you have to start work at a certain time, and then school is over at a certain time, and dinner happens, and bedtime happens, and then you have your own things that you want to get done, so you really are kind of cohabitating or coexisting, if you're like us, where we both work from home in the same house, we can go, you know, we might say hi at breakfast right before we go to work. And I'm saying go to work in air quotes because we work in adjacent rooms in our home.
Pop back and forth sharing stories of our day.
Sure. But there are days where we, like, say hi at breakfast and then ask, you know, what's for lunch or what do you want to do for lunch, and then don't say anything else to each other until, you know, it's dinner time.
Yeah.
And then might not say anything else to each other until it's time to get in bed, because we've got our routine down pat. We know what to expect. We know about what the other person wants to get done and what our responsibilities usually are. And then we have our own things at the end of the day that we want to take care of. So it's easy to take the other person for granted a little bit, especially if they might need some extra help and aren't very good at communicating it. You can just kind of miss when the other person is having an off day. And we can't really speak for people who go to work out of the house. I can't imagine how different or difficult it might be when you're both working out of the house.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's necessarily easier or more difficult because we just don't have that frame of reference. We've never, one of us has always been working from home while we've both been working.
Yeah, we've pretty much every time, I mean, there was briefly a period where I worked in the office 5 days a week and you were doing personal training and you would go in, but that was not a, like,
yeah,
40-hour work week. That was...
It was very sporadic.
It was very sporadic and not, like...
Yeah.
So
I guess you're right. We did have that short period, but that was, I would say, an anomaly where we were not really...
That was, like, a period of maybe 3 months. And
maybe.
Because I started that job in November, and then in November 2019... And then everything shut down early March.
Yeah.
So
all that to say, even if you're around your partner all day, it's still important to, like, check in or let them know if you're having an off day or if you're having a great day, because having open lines of conversation is not just about, like, what you need or when you feel bad. Like, if you had a meeting where you presented a project or something you were working on and it went really great and everybody loved it, just like when you need help, your partner loves you and they often, if not all the time, want to celebrate in your wins.
Yeah, and I think it's also, dear, even though you work from home, at least from my perspective, I don't really, like, I'm in my own little world of work. I'm not, if I'm being honest, like, really connected with you as my partner. Like, I just am doing my own thing. It's just not the same as free time. But I think we've kind of run this point into the ground.
Sure.
That you work from home versus not, but
yes, we want
to.
We want to move on.
I mean, I just think as much as it can be, I want to circle back to the it being challenging to express what your needs are. I truly believe that communication is key to making sure your needs are met. But I also deeply understand that sometimes you don't know what your needs are. And I think what a partner can do when that's happening is throw out ideas of support, and we'll give you a few here in a sec. They can throw out ideas of support. They can ask open-ended questions. They can make time to sit down and talk about it. I think it's ideal to try to have those conversations around self-care when you're in a good place as well, when you're more aware of, like, okay, I'm feeling okay, so I can think clearly, think about my needs. But to just give you a few ideas of things you can throw out to your partner, things that might fit into your like self-care routines of like how you can support them. One idea would be taking a chore off their plate. And Max had a good point. We were talking before about this, about how you also don't want to assume that is something that's helpful for them. And I would love for you to share the example about the dishes, because that's one that I didn't know until we were talking about this. So,
sure. So the point that I brought up is that there are, like, yes, having a chore taken off your plate, at least in theory, sounds like a wonderful thing, because unless you're a crazy person or a robot designed to do chores, you don't really like or look forward to doing all of your chores. There might be a few that you, you know, like or find value in, like doing the dishes in the evening after putting the baby to bed. Sometimes is a time for me, for myself, to be alone, kind of in the dark, because we dim all the lights in our houses as we're putting Reese to bed. Usually I've got some music or a book or a YouTube video or something going in my headphones, and I can just have some time being productive and getting something done right before bed, and just in my own world. Oftentimes I value that, and other times it would be great or, you know, help me out if Sarah doesn't mind doing the dishes, so that I can try and focus on other things, or if I have things I need to wrap up for the day, just having that little extra time saved would be helpful. And that's something that Sarah can't know unless I communicate, hey, you know, tonight, I know we had talked about you doing the dishes so I could work on some stuff, but I just feel like I would rather have or would put more value in having that time to myself, being productive, because I don't feel like I've really gotten very much done today, so I want to try and be productive and useful, because everybody likes feeling like they've been productive and useful. You know, so thank you for the offer, but I'm going to still do the dishes tonight. Or the opposite, you know, hey, I was really hoping to try and, you know, get a shower in because I overslept this morning and didn't get a shower in, and I feel really gross and I just want to, like, get clean before it's time to close the day out. Do you mind, like, working on some of the dishes so I'm not staying up, as, you know, up so late? Or things like that.
Yeah. I think that's a great example. For me, I don't know if I ever realized that doing the dishes was an aspect of self-care for you, potentially. So that was just something interesting and proves that there's always something to communicate about and learn about. And I think that speaks to that common thread that we, I think, have woven into this episode quite a bit, is that communicating your needs is ultimately, like, one of the most important things for your partner to be able to support you, and vice versa, talking to each other about your needs. So just to throw out a few more ideas for ideas to support that person in their self-care, you could think about, like, gifting them a gift card for something that they like to do as self-care that maybe they feel guilty spending money on that they wouldn't do for themselves. Or you could plan something for them, like going out with friends, if planning is something that makes them feel really drained, but they also thrive on getting that social time. There's a lot of different ways that you can support that person. I hope that those give you, like, that foundation. But ultimately, I think we just want to encourage you to open that conversation with your partner about the self-care that they need and the self-care that supports you. It's very much a two-way street. Any other points to add?
I think as much as this episode is about supporting your partner's self-care, it's also helpful to support your partner supporting your self-care. Like, it goes a level deeper, too. Because I know it's also helpful for me, if I try something new to try and support your self-care, that, you know, afterwards, even in the next day or so, if Sarah were to come back and say, hey, you know, the other night when you did X for me, when I said I was feeling anxious, that was really helpful and I really appreciated that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I know, oh, okay, great. Well, you know, I'll add that to my bag of tricks or what have you. Or, you know, you might say, hey, you know, I really appreciate what you were trying to do, but I just don't think it had the effect that you might have been going for. While it was helpful, it wasn't quite, you know, whatever. And then I know, okay, you know, that's excellent feedback in either direction. And I know for next time, you know, try something new or do that thing exactly.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, I hope you all, again, will share this with your partners. I think this episode is really, really helpful to maybe listen to together. And I hope you have a wonderful Valentine's Day. Thank you so much for joining me today. Before you go, be sure to grab my free Own Your Self-Care Starter Kit by visiting theselfcare.life/ownyourselfcare. This kit is specially designed to help you identify what kind of self-care will work best for you. That way, you can start developing your own self-care lifestyle. If you'd like to stay connected, find me on Instagram at Sarah Strives or on TikTok at The Self-Care Lifestyle. Thank you so much for listening, and I will talk at you again soon.